You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. I heard my promo about, 5 minutes ago?
You did.
Hello, how are you? I'm choppy. I speak choppily. How are you, Tom?
I'm very good, Steve. Thank you for asking.
Oh, I said it, old man. Is that me? Is that really me? I sound horrible. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to today's show. We're going to talk women's basketball. We'll talk men's basketball. We'll talk a lot of different things, about a lot of different things. I hope we get some callers, please. 790-2040. I don't hear from you guys enough. I know you guys are listening because you guys tell me you are. We'll see if that holds true. But we're going to have PJ Brown about 6:16 after we talk some gibberish here for the next 5 minutes, or no, 8 minutes. If I knew my math, it would get us to 6:15. And Tom, good to have you talk gibberish with me.
It's fun.
I was listening to some things today on Twitter, that stupid thing they call Twitter. I hate Twitter. I do. I just do.
That's fair.
But Fox Sports, a place I used to work for a while back, was talking about the leadership of Kawhi Leonard. You know, everybody wanted him. He was the guy last year, and they wanted him on their team because they had a chance of becoming an NBA champion.
Right.
Well, the Clippers are kind of struggling right now. I don't know if you know that or not. I know that only because, well, I don't know how I know that, because I could care less about the NBA.
You mean the former Buffalo Braves?
Yes. Well, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're struggling a little bit, and then they're wondering, well, Kawhi Leonard, somebody on the, Whitlock, criticized his leadership because he doesn't play all the time, yada, yada. And some guy was saying they knew what they were getting. It's like that
sure.
A.B. Brown. Antonio Brown. And have we talked about this? Getting a cancer? I'm not saying Kawhi Leonard's a cancer, but you get those guys, and then you say, I didn't know this was going to happen.
And I don't know how you could ever say that.
Exactly.
Especially because, Steve, you know, and I know, even if it's not on the record, people talk in the world of sports.
Yes.
You know what's going on with a player before you should know before you get him. And some guys, I guess, or some GMs are just, well, maybe he'll change.
Maybe he'll change, or I have the big enough ego where I can make him change.
Right, right.
Well, you know, coaches, especially when they make millions,
sure,
hundreds of thousands or whatever, go walk into the room and guess what? They're the smartest guy in the room. How you doing? And they know how to do things and work things, and it doesn't always work that way. And then they have a cancer or have an issue. And I'm not saying Kawhi. I just wanted to bring up the subject. So how many, in your lifetime, you're in your mid-40s or something, you know, how many teams have you been a part of?
Oh, rough guess. Between baseball, hockey, soccer, I'll say 15.
15, that's not a whole lot. So let's go with this. And I'm not going to correlate this with anything that I'm doing currently or, in the past, yes, not currently. Of those 15, how many of those teams had that guy? Talented as all heck, but a pain in the neck.
I actually have one story about a guy that kind of ties into Arizona even.
Go ahead,
so,
if you want to.
Not U of A, but so when I was in AA hockey, I was in Augusta, Georgia, and we had a guy, his name was Scott Kelman. Kelman was a first-round draft pick, 15th overall by the Coyotes.
How old?
By the time he got to us, or I would say he was probably in his early 20s, but you're drafted in your teens.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So Kelman had all the talent in the world. Amazingly talented hockey player. Coyotes were high on him. Long story short, he never made the NHL and became the only player in his draft class of the first round that year to not play in the NHL.
The number one pick?
He was 15th overall, but first round.
Reminds me of Travis Lee.
Everything was everybody else's fault, and nothing was his fault, and he just didn't work hard enough. He would do some amazing things, but he didn't have the motor, he didn't have the drive, and he really did believe everything that happened around him was somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
And he just never worked. And he never made it. All the talent in the world, and he was a complete dud. And unfortunately for the Coyotes, never panned out.
Yeah, yeah. No, that happens. It happens a lot.
Yeah,
because they think that their poop doesn't stink and they can just walk into a room and have that attitude or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm talking about this only because I just saw this and I'm thinking, so 15, that's only one guy in 15 years?
Oh, no. I have plenty of stories.
Yeah.
I've seen guys divide locker rooms and entire teams down with them.
Very much so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen a team bound for the playoffs where basically there was the club fractured probably around Valentine's Day for good. And there was, I mean, the locker room was literally split in half. And from that point on, the team barely won any games.
And they were a playoff team. That. You can't prepare that. You can't repair that.
You can't trade enough guys to fix that.
No. If it's, it's like a, oh, here I go with my bad marriage thing. But it's true. I mean, you can go to counseling, blah, blah, blah. That's a bunch of crap. Where you, oh, we can do this, talk it out, yada, yada, in those team meetings. But deep down, you just absolutely hate the other guy.
You're just waiting for the other shoe to drop sometimes, you know? You're like, okay, you say you've changed, but have you?
No, teams, that's why I love teams, because you see the dynamic of it, having a team sport, how they get along, winning teams, and you can see good teams, how they get along and play well together and just enjoy their time. Even not so good teams become pretty good teams because of that.
Sure. Yeah. I've seen now the opposite. It's interesting you bring that up. I've also seen teams galvanize around, I don't want to say hating a player, but not liking a guy.
Wow. I'd have to go back and see if that's the case, but tell me.
So that, well, I don't want to name any names in this one because there's kind of bigger things at stake here. But there was a guy I vividly remember was one of those guys who thought, you know, my you know what don't stink and I know everything and I know how to do it and just, you know, I'll take care of everything. And instead of, because usually what you would find, I think, in that situation is a bunch of guys would say, yeah, this guy's the guy. He's the guy. And they get on team, you know, Bob Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half of the room goes, who are you? Well, in this particular case, it actually didn't work out. The player was brought in on a trade and was supposed to be a jump start for the team and came in and just, you know, declared it was his way or the highway. And he lasted basically another couple of weeks and he was traded again. And he was right back out of town. And the team, in the meantime, kind of pulled together around, we don't like this guy.
Yeah.
And they actually, I think it's one of those things, for those couple of weeks, it was horrible. But afterwards, I think it was much better.
Yeah, I think that in the scenario you paint, I've seen that too. Or when they kind of come visit to recruit and they say, this guy has a bad attitude, they catch it right away and they say, well, he just wouldn't fit in. Not that I don't cover the team as well as I did when I did with Lute. I was every day. With Sean, it's not possible. But I saw that a few times in the Lute era where they would have a guy in, he just didn't fit in, so they just stopped recruiting him. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot in different things. And I'm not sure, like, again, I'm not sure why I brought that up, but I wanted to bring it up just because I heard that today. Yeah. We'll talk about this later because good teams have that great chemistry. And maybe we'll talk about that with PJ and how she feels this team is with Adia and the chemistry involved. You have a couple of stars, and then you have the people or the players around McDonald and Reese and them. So we'll talk about that after the break. Let's take a quick break and talk to PJ Brown of the Arizona Daily Star after the break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Why in the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, we'll go to PJ Brown of the Arizona Daily Star. PJ, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Sure, PJ. Great to have you. How was today's press conference?
It was pretty good. We had Ari and McDonald and Coach Adia Barnes there. And, you know, they talked a little bit about last weekend and also about what they have coming up this weekend. Kind of a fascinating thing. I asked Adia about the difference between playing a top 10 team and a top 5 team. And I thought that was, her response was really interesting. Excuse me. It was really that, you know, a top 10 team has one or two, maybe great players. A top 5 team is more of a team. So they'll have those great players, but they'll have people around them and great threats around them so that they're like more fully formed and more of a team. So they've got more, you know, more going on than just, not that the top 10 team isn't great, But there's a difference. You can tell the difference when you play them. You can definitely see the difference between a top 10 team and a top 5 team.
It's funny. You've been following this for a few years now. How in the world did the Oregon schools become so good?
They have great coaches. They hired great coaches. So at Oregon, Kelly Graves came from Gonzaga, I believe. And he's just really a great coach and a great motivator, great recruiter. And he got some really good players to believe and come there. And then it just built from there. And also, you know, they're both Scott Ruick at Oregon State, too. Again, another really good recruiter. Good motivator, and both very good X's and O's coaches. And they're the reasons that, you know, and then they've built the cultures there. They're really the reason. It sort of just, it starts with that coach. If you get the right coach, you know, you can totally be set.
It's funny because I'm glad you did not say, well, Nike, money. You know,
no,
I'm glad you didn't, because I firmly believe that's what you just said. A good coach means everything to a good program. And it's obvious that they've done their. The funny thing about it is I was at USA Today 30 years ago, and Oregon had some great high school teams way back in the day. And it's finally caught up where now the colleges are really good, and they've been good for a little while now.
Yeah, both coaches have been there, I think, maybe 7 or 8 years, and they've just, like, every year they just get better and better. The teams, the programs get better and better. So, I know, like, the last 4 years, well, you know, and it's when you bring in a star player, not just Sabrina, but also Ruthie Hebert came in with her, and the combination of those two, then you follow up with Satu Sabali and some other pieces for Oregon that really, you know, keeps you going. Then, you know, for 4 years, hopefully you have these players and, you know, and then you just build from there. And same thing with at Oregon State, you know, they had players like Sidney Weiss and a few others and Ruth Hamblin. And it just sort of builds on them because, you know, other players see that. They see, okay, this is a really good coach. Here's a really good player who plays there, and this is how they've developed that player. I want to go there.
I don't want to go too crazy with this, but I'll wax a little hyperbole. Biggest weekend of the program in its history, you think?
Maybe not in history, but I think definitely in the Adia Barnes tenure.
Really? First, what would be history? What would be better?
Well, they said there was a big 2004. There was a win that was big. So, like, if they win one game this weekend, It would match to that. And then, of course, there's
no. I'm saying going in, kind of like
right.
Don't you think that? And you know better than me. So this weekend they play Friday. How many people are you think are going to be in that arena?
Oh, I think they're going to draw 8,000 to 10,000.
So you know that they didn't draw that many that in 2004. I'm sure.
No. I see what you're saying. I just meant from like if they win and all of that.
Yeah. If they win, right? I agree with you.
But
they win.
I think that if they draw the 8,000 to 10,000 Friday and they do really well Friday, there'll be more people on Sunday. I think it's that thing sort of like that happened with the WNIT.
Yes.
You know, the better that you play. And of course, when people realize who they're playing, the second and the third ranked team in the country, they're coming out for it. And Tucson's, you know, they have a great fan base here, the women's basketball team, and the fans are going to come out. They haven't played at home since December 21st, I think it is now, and this is their first Pac-12 home opening weekend. People are coming.
Yeah, no question. That's why I say I think compared to back then, I think it's just going into it. Not if they win or lose. I'm just thinking all this build up is fantastic, especially for a program that hasn't had this fantastic feeling in a long time, if ever.
Right, and I don't know back in the day what they drew. You know, I don't know. I have to go back and look at what the how many fans came out to see him. I know that they had a really strong presence in the community, and I know that the fans really love these teams, and they supported them. I just don't know if the numbers are as big as they are today.
What did she, I'm sure Adia has kind of maybe asked, what has she said, or how many people does she think she's going to show up?
Oh, she wants 10. She wants 10. Ari McDonald said a sellout.
Of course. When you were a kid, you wanted all.
Yeah, but Adia's hoping for 10.
I think it's very possible if they pull that baby off, then Sunday is going to be crazy.
Right. And think about it. They average in a non-conference 46-50. So you're almost averaging 5,000. You haven't played Pac-12 yet. You're 13-1, the best start in program history, and you're playing the top two of the top three teams in the nation, with great stars coming in to play. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, Ari McDonald, of course. So why wouldn't people come out for these two games?
Yeah, no question. Let me ask you. This is not a criticism, just a observation. Because I was there, and you were there, obviously, for the WNIT run, where the crowds got better, better, bigger, better, until the end when it was just sold out. And it was like, wow, this audience is just fantastic. The music, the kids, the atmosphere, what a fantastic time. And then I went to go see, I think, the game you referred to, December 21st, and I didn't feel that same vibe. Am I wrong?
I think it was just early. I think people were waiting for Pac-12. I really do. There were a lot of people there. I think, you know, they're just waiting. Pac-12 basketball is so good that, you know, I just think people are waiting for Pac-12.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll reclaim that vibe again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and through non-conference, they had the third largest average for crowds behind the two Oregon schools. So that's a huge jump for them, and I think that's great. And I think that the vibe comes back.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling the vibe, I think it comes back. This team, it's an exciting team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're just getting better. And you're going to see, I think, over the course of the rest of the season that that's how she coaches. They just get better as they go. And, you know, that's what you'd want, and that's what you want to see. And this team has so much potential that, it's going to be fun to watch as they grow.
I saw today that maybe in the last couple of hours ago, McDonald was named to the Wooden Award list.
Yeah, for the midseason watch list. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Not that that's a surprise, because I think when you break it down, wouldn't you say that she's definitely in the top 15 players in the country, if not in the top 10?
Oh, at least the top 10. I've been spending some of my time, like on Tuesday nights, watching other conferences play, whether it's the Big Ten, whether it's the SEC. And I've seen, you know, I usually don't get a chance to see them play that much. And I wanted to see just, you know, we always talk about Pac-12 women's basketball being the best. Well, is it really? And I know there are certain teams that are great that are out there in other conferences. But top to bottom, I don't know if anybody compares to the Pac-12 from what I've seen so far this season. And I was checking out certain players. And the things that stand out to me is that I'm watching some of these players and I'm like, yeah, they're not as exciting as Ari McDonald. They're not as, they can't do the things that she does that make her so great, not just on offense, but on defense. It's the combination of the two things that really make her stand out. Yes, on offense, she can, you know, step back and get that three, or snake through a bunch of, you know, four or five defenders and score. But it's, you know, how just everything she does on defense, she plays such great defense, her steals, just the whole package that Ari McDonald is, there aren't too many players in the country that are like her.
Now that
and as I watch these other players who are top players in the country who are named to all these lists along with her, I see that.
I'm talking to PGA.
I see that she stands out.
I'm talking to PGA Brown of the Arizona Daily Star, who covers the women's basketball team at U of A. So now that you're paying attention, or you have been for a while, the national scene, is it like basketball for men in this year specific, where there's no true clear-cut favorite, or do you have that?
No, there's really no favorite. Right now, I think UConn sits up at the top.
And they're
not a typical UConn team. They're just undefeated at the moment. But, you know, I think as the season goes on, you know, I think Oregon, they're going to the Final Four. I think Stanford's an incredible team, and as soon as those freshmen integrate and they get going, they're going to be there right there too. I think I said last time I talked to you, UCLA, they were number 10 in the country. Now they've moved up a little. They're a top team. You know, and then you have where do you put the Baylors and you know, there's some other teams like that, but you know, this is a year where, like, you have, like, six or seven teams that I think could go to the Final Four, and at the moment, anyone could win.
Yeah.
So it's really wide open. So, and then when you have, and when you're in the Pac-12, and any weekend, anybody can win any game, you know, Arizona can sneak and win this one Friday.
Who knows? I have one quick question before we take a break here in 10 seconds. Are they going to win this weekend any game, and where will they finish? Will they make the tournament?
They will make the tournament, and there's a big possibility they could win Friday.
That's not telling me. We'll talk to you next week, maybe, and see what happens next weekend. Thanks a bunch.
Sounds good.
All right, take care. Thank you, PJ.
Bye-bye.
Let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Good to talk to PJ Brown. I think if they pull off one of these wins or games this weekend, that would be unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I agree. And she was not going to let you pin her down.
No, she wasn't. I'll talk about it maybe next week and say, you should have told me that they were going to win. Tell me when. When did you know it? What's that saying? Whatever. When did you know it? Should be fun, though. I'm going to try to get out there and see what happens now with the guys out of town in the Oregon Trail. I always miss that Oregon Trail run. I love Oregon. Eugene's a good college town. Just too cold. I don't think it's cold now.
This time of year? I don't know.
Yeah, well, down here, I know it's always scary. One of some of the scariest moments I've been on that road from Corvallis and Eugene to Portland to catch a plane. Black ice. Have you ever been out? You must be on black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been around that.
Oh, man. I needed Depends.
That's not fun.
No, I know it's not. Tell me about it. And then I have to go like 10 miles an hour just to get out of that black ice. And just, you never know. So I don't miss that for that, but I do miss the trip itself. I'm sure my guy, Bruce Pascoe, will have a fun time without me. So let's talk about hoops. If you guys want to call in, please do, 790-2040. In fact, I got a call right now. Matt, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good, Steve. How you been?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for the call. Hey, what do you think about this? You still like this team?
The men's team or the women's? Yes, I like both teams.
No, the men. But you're going to ask me a question. Go ahead, and we'll talk about my question.
So the Final Four era of Arizona lasted approximately 13 years. And it's been the Final Four era of Arizona basketball lasted about, and it's been 19 years since.
Yes.
So do you think the party's over?
Man, did you listen to me maybe a couple days ago?
No.
And people thought I was excited and had a good show because I was excited about it. And everyone talks about, Tom, you have to refresh my memory, but is this still a basketball school? That was my question.
Yeah, we did talk about that. And I said, yes, it's a basketball school because it's not a football school.
It's by default. And I said, you can't say that. And then they said, well, if that's not the case, it's a softball school.
Right, yeah, then it's softball. Because the softball program's awesome.
But Matt, you're too how can I say this? You're too good of a, not good. You're too pragmatic of a fan, because you're correct. 19 years not having gone to a Final Four does raise some eyebrows. At least they do in my mind or in my head. Do you have an answer to your own question?
I don't, but you don't notice it because it kind of goes by a year at a time. And, like, they should have gone to the Final Four in 2005, right?
Yes.
They should have gone.
Yes.
I mean, they should have gone.
Yes.
And it should not have even been close. And then, you know, they were...
2011?
They were jump shot away and with Jamel Horn, and they were jump shot away in 2014, right?
Yes, and with Johnson.
So, I mean... Maybe the interval maybe shouldn't have been so much, but, you know, year after, you know, it goes by year at a time. And don't misunderstand me. This is not a, you know, fire the coach kind of question. It's just you don't notice it year by year, but you think about it, all these Final Fours, but that's been 13 years, man.
Oh, yeah.
Been 13 years. It's been a generation since.
Yeah, no question. In fact, one of the things that they talked about, Lou, is every 4 years, the senior class would at least get to the Final Four.
Ah, and there's the rub. What's the senior class mean anymore?
Oh, that's true. That's a good question. That's a good point.
With all the one and dones, it's just awful.
Yeah.
I joked with you, and you kind of chastised me once about them declaring for the draft in the red and blue game, but we're not too far away from that happening.
No, that's true. You're
and
right.
I'm being sarcastic, but good Lord, one day into the conference schedule, and
do you talk to many boosters?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, oh, I don't. Yeah,
you probably talk. There's a difference between a booster and a fan. I'm sure you talk to a lot of fans.
Of course.
So, yeah, and boosters are kind of different. So what do you get as the vibe to this point? Let me say this. I do like this team.
Yeah, I do too. They've been fun to watch. And it's hard to be critical of the Baylor, the Gonzaga, and the the one up in San Francisco.
St. John's.
It's hard to be totally critical about that because you got – like a bunch of 18-year-olds, you know, if they were seniors and they had that stretch, I think it would be a little bit different, or juniors or something like that. And then the other thing is that it's just really hard to be critical about it because they are so young. But the other thing is, I mean, you won't tell till the end of the year if they learn from those losses. What, like, if they grew from those losses, right? So you can't really tell until the end of the season if they kind of grew as a result of playing those tough games. But I think the sentiment is that, you know, I think everybody was the sentiment that I get from people is that holding their breath for the last 2 years and waiting for all these shoes to shoes to fall, and it's been kind of a bummer. It has been for me, and you know, there's one more thing that needs to be resolved before we can kind of say, and they lived happily ever after the end. You know, so there's one more thing that has to kind of get resolved.
Let me ask you something. You're a grown man, it sounds like. How many stories end in happily ever?
A lot of people would argue that point with you, but anyway.
How many stories end with happily ever after?
Books
you reading? What books you reading? Let me ask you a question. That's not it's a trick question, but there's no right answer. If you were a coach, you're making millions. You can qualify your millions. Do you recruit the one and dones, or do you recruit the 3-4 star guys that are going to stay some time?
Right, that's a good point, because that's like the puzzle. You walk into a wall either way, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, You said it a number of times, and I did hear you say this yesterday or sometime recently. You know, you've said it before. You got to feed the monster, right?
Feed the beast.
But the sad thing about it is, until the rules change, until the NBA changes their rules, or you know, what can you do, right?
Right. Right, right. No, I think the top tier teams, you have to go after the best guys and hope for the best. Otherwise, you probably don't think in your mind that you're going to have enough talent to win it all?
I guess two things that immediately popped into my mind is with a DeAndre Ayton or a Lauri Markkanen, and you can kind of understand why they leave, because they're clearly and obviously going to be high draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can kind of understand that. The Kobe Simmons and the some of these other guys that leave with, you know, they think they're good, but what are their projections really in either the first or the second round?
Right.
I'd say probably not.
When I covered this team day-to-day back in the day when I was a young man, and the guys like Michael Wright were considering it, and, you know, Michael Wright, bless his heart, rest his soul, was what he was. He was a 6'7", 6'8" guy, a fantastic player, but he was a tweener. He wasn't a guard, he wasn't a forward, he wasn't a power forward. In college, he was fantastic. At the next level, he was what he was. And when he decided to leave, I'm thinking, okay, more power to you. And there's a phrase in Spanish that I like to say every now and again. It's called, it's said this way, que le vaya bien, and it's kind of said sarcastically that your decision is a good one, and don't let the door hit you in the butt. So you kind of know what you know, but you're going to try it anyway. But don't complain if the outcome is not what you want it to be.
Yeah, right. So I have one other question for you then. With regards to Gonzaga, do they? I just, you know, I follow Arizona, but I'm just not up on. Do they have the one and done with Gonzaga?
They do. They have in the past, or at least the two and duns, one or two and duns. But they're not at the level of Arizona, although they've taken over the West over Arizona.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
They sort of are.
Yeah. They are the Arizona now of Arizona, but they've kind of taken it over without the fancy stuff. So I think eventually he's going to go through the same problem more to that level. But, you know, there was that skinny kid that took him to the Final Four. I think he was a freshman. I forget his name. But they're going to suffer the same fate. And then you wonder, how do you continue to feed the beast?
Right.
Yeah. It's like buying it's like buying a nice car, one of those fancy ones. You probably drive that Mercedes, and you have to put that fancy gas.
Yeah.
And then you have to put that fancy gas in there. You know, enough already. Can't I just put that cheap gas?
That's right.
It's still going to run into a wall.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I am enjoying watching this team play. It's kind of fun seeing them run again. It hasn't been that way for a while. It is kind of fun seeing them run. They're fun to watch. The drama of the last 2 years. Like I said, there's more made possibly to come, but the drama of the last 2 years seems to have lifted. You mentioned this yesterday about, you know, Miller's a little more loosey-goosey
in
press conferences, which is nice to see, you know.
It's refreshing to me. It's refreshing to me.
Yeah, so it's fun to watch these guys. It's really fun to watch the women's team, too. She's assembled quite a cast, and I'm enjoying watching them, too.
Yeah.
And watching the ASU game, seeing the place filled to the rafters again, that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was definitely a fun evening, and it's always a feel-good thing when not only can you beat your rival, your in-state rival, you can hammer them. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. No, enjoy the moment, man. Enjoy the moment, because you don't know when they're going to end or when they're going to continue.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they do against Oregon now, because that Oregon seems to have given them fits. It certainly has been a competitive series, so definitely looking forward to see how they do against Oregon on the road this year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Matt, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Good talking to you.
All right, thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Let's take a quick break here, Senor Tom, and come back here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. So if you're a coach, Tom, if anybody else wants to call in, that was a good conversation with Matt. Thanks for calling in, Matt. Did I already ask you this? I'm getting old. Would you do a bunch of studs, or would you kind of not use maybe one or two studs and then go the rest of the way?
So, Steve, my answer depends entirely upon the program at which I am ensconced.
You are going to be at a good program. I'm not going to put you at a mid-level program, Tom.
Okay, so I have the ability to draw the studs.
You're at Kansas. You're at Texas. You're at Arizona. You're at UCLA.
I will bring in, because I truly believe basketball is the one sport where one or two, like, triple-A level player, or even five-star, whatever you want to call it, like, top-of-the-line players can carry an entire rest of the team. So, yeah, I do that. And I will trade that to make a Final Four run every couple of years and win a national title once or twice in that cycle of 10 years with those guys, as opposed to trying to assemble a team and a culture and all that. I do that if I'm in a mid-major, if I'm in a mid-level school. Hey, this is our culture. This is our identity. Come here and be this. But I'm also not going to bring in a player and then not use him the way his gifts and talents should have him used.
Yeah, well, I think that's the problem that Sean is going through, because he did a fantastic job at Xavier, got him to this point. Obviously, he won a lot, was competitive against the majors there. And then now everyone said, well, why don't you just do the same things he was doing at Xavier? Well, that's
it's not the same.
It's not the same. Scenario's not the same. You are driving the Mercedes. You have to put the expensive gas in. So you're not driving the Kia to work anymore.
And if you put 87 in the tank instead of 91, guess what? The engine doesn't perform like it should.
Right, right. God, do I know that. but it's right. I mean, everybody has a different philosophy. I think that Mark Few did what he does, or does what he does, because he has to. He kind of starts the philosophy. Sean talked about that when they played him. And Sean has a philosophy. There's no question. Get good players and see if we can mold them. But he continues to deal with the same stuff. And this is not a criticism. It's like they come in. He talked about this earlier. Well, he's got seven new players. He has to work them in, get them used to each other. And then guess what?
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
And guess what's going to happen next year? Same as the player, new players, get them to play together. And poof, they're gone.
But that's the nature of the beast, though, Steve.
No, and I that's exactly what I wanted to say. It is, if you could make it that way. That's the nature that you've created.
Right.
Yeah.
And that can be summed up as live by the sword, die by the sword.
No question. Well, we talked about this maybe last week with Calipari.
Yes.
Mr. One and Done guy.
Yes.
They've embraced it. It is what it is with him, yada, yada. Okay. How many national titles do you have to show for it?
One.
Mm-hmm. With some of the best players in the country.
I thought the entire state of Kentucky would burn when they got, remember, what was it, a couple of years
Wisconsin.
Ago they got dumped early? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, but what, okay, burn that time? What about when they were 40-some and 0 and they lost to Wisconsin in the semis?
Yeah, I remember that too. That,
I bought a shirt. It said 44-0.
That's crazy pressure at that point, though.
No question. But guess where they're at? They're at Pressure Central.
Right. That is probably, I don't know, and you mentioned Duke and no, not so much North Carolina anymore,
no,
but maybe Duke is the only other program in the country I can think of where the pressure is like NBA level every year pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, last year was one of those years. They had three of the best players in the country, with probably the best player in the country with Williamson. And how'd that go? Didn't
seem to work out.
Didn't seem to work out. I mean, and that's why this game is so fun. You just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Look at now. This year specifically. You want to be number one? No. Nobody wants to be number one.
You want to be number one at the end of it all.
Yes.
You don't want to be
yes.
number one right now.
So did you, how can I say that? So in your 15 years that you were talking about, did you have the pleasure of covering championship teams, like championship teams?
I've been to the finals a couple of times and lost. I'm trying to think if I've ever been to a team that actually won a title.
I'm hoping maybe once, but my point will be made.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Because I'm going to have to go through the Rolodex. Okay. I'm old, man.
I know you didn't play, but finishing second didn't diminish your accomplishments, or did it?
You know what? So in my own personal experience, like I grew up playing hockey at a very competitive level, and I've been to some pretty high levels for competing and won and lost. If we finished second at a state tournament, national tournament, whatever it was, that was the worst. I would have rather have not even been there.
Really?
Because you got to lose to get silver. You win to get bronze.
I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Okay. You finished second. Only one team was better. I get it. You play to win the game.
It's the most disappointing thing in the world.
I totally understand. I played it, and I am a poor sport, and I love to win more than anybody. But it's like, you know, everyone talks about 88 here, first love, first Final Four, great team. probably arguably one of the top two teams in the history of the program. They talk about 94, who got to the Final Four, Damon Khalid and the rest of the guys lost to Arkansas. 97, obviously, that'll be the pride and joy, 97.
Right.
98 was supposed to be the year. It didn't happen. We don't talk about that much very much. 2001, probably, in my mind, the best team to ever play here. No one talks about that. You know why?
Because they didn't win.
They didn't win. They lost in the finals to Duke.
Yep.
But that was a fantastic team. In my mind, that was the best team. So, but no one really tied at 2001. Oh, they lost. Oh, okay. But right now, all this city talks about is what?
The past.
Great answer. I wasn't looking for that, but a great answer. No, they talk about just one thing. Getting to the Final Four.
Right.
They don't talk about a title. Can't talk about that. Even if you got there and you lost, would it mean anything?
I think people would. All right. So now on. I think the first time you did it, it would be now on to next year. But then you better win next year. Even if it all turns over and it all changes around, it's like, well, once you get there and you wanted to get there, now you're there, but it's still not going to be good enough.
Oh, sure. Of course.
I just think, and that's the nature of a fan.
Right.
You know?
Right. Feed me once, feed me again. It's like what do you call that? The hungry cat comes back and comes back and comes back. That's why you don't feed cats.
Yep. They will show up at your door forever if you do.
Yes. Yes. But that's, I don't even know where I was going with that. You know how I talk in tangents.
But
people talk about that. I mean, that's why I say you didn't even like finishing second. To me, seconds.
No.
People don't talk about that for whatever reason.
I was super ultra competitive though. Like I was, like you say, I mean, you want to talk about a sore loser. Oh my goodness. I hated losing anything. Instead, not as much anymore, but man, if it's something that I really care about and I'm passionate about, yeah, I still hate losing. Sure.
Would you rather not play?
No. No, I always want to play.
See, me too. See, but you know you're going to lose.
No, I don't.
You know.
I go in believing I'm going to win.
Of course, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The chances of you winning are not that great.
Right. Nobody's undefeated forever.
Correct, yeah. It's like we don't all know. Father Time is undefeated.
Yes. He's the only one.
Yes. Yes. I don't even know why I brought that up, but see, even now, if this team got to the Final Four, it would be fantastic. It'd be a rebirth of the program. Sean has redeemed himself internally, fans, nationally, blah, blah, blah. Because I think it's more of a national thing than anything else.
I do think, yeah, no, absolutely. I think to this fan base, it is important to be in the national conversation. Mm. I think it's important to any fan base. Mm-hmm.
But Matt brought up a good point. 19 years, and we talked about this a day or two ago. It's been 19 years, a generation ago.
Right.
Are you still a basketball program?
So picture that. Steve, there are kids who are freshmen and sophomores at the U of A.
Mm-hmm. That don't have a clue.
Have no idea.
No question. It's like me getting a date with Miss America. Does that mean I'm a ladies' man?
In my mind, yes, it does.
It means I got lucky for a day.
Hey, whatever. I want to borrow your cologne if that happens.
It ain't the cologne, baby. It's his face that's on radio.
It's a Rivera charm.
Yeah, it's a Rivera charm. But you don't understand what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
We'll see what happens. If they win this weekend against Oregon, then they'll have a tough emotional game against Oregon State.
Sure.
But I think that kind of rejuvenizes the program again, those juices that they so desperately want. Yeah?
Yeah, for sure. You get that bump from your big wins, and you try to carry that as long as you can, but then this kind of brings us back, as we always talk about, momentum.
The momentum and that catch, or not the catch game, but the trap game.
Trap game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You get the big win, you come in the next game, hopefully you're not flat.
Mm-hmm. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time. That's why coaches, and I asked this to coaches, do you have a psychology degree? Because they have to come up with the reasons to keep those guys mentally focused after big wins. You know, even after a loss, because you got up for that game.
Yeah.
And you didn't have enough to win it.
And that's why I think it's interesting, the rhythm of a team throughout the course of a longer season. If you have a short season for, you know, playing 8-16 games or whatever, mm-hmm. that's different than if you have 40, 50, 60, 80 games, whatever. Because naturally you do ebb and flow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's just maximizing your flow and minimizing your ebb.
Sure. And hope that the momentum, see, I can't, You know I'm not a momentum guy.
Right.
You are, to a degree.
I think within a game, yes. From game to game, no.
That's right. You're in game. No. So you kind of agree with me out of game.
Yes.
Yeah. And I probably agree with you in game because you're feeling good. You're scoring points. You're doing well. And then all of a sudden, maybe you're not. But I get that.
Because even in the context of game, speaking of the mental aspect of things, if things are going well for you and you believe they're going well for you, you can do anything
going well for you.
And if the other team or your team even thinks things aren't going your way, then they're not.
And I'll point this out. So do you gamble or do you play games like Monopoly or whatever games?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, okay, I've played board games.
Have you ever
stuff,
had one of those runs that you like, I don't even know what's going on, but you have these runs.
You know what game that happens to me? In Yahtzee.
Yahtzee. Okay, so you go on these runs. But then okay.
And you can't be stopped.
You can't be stopped because you don't even know why.
Right.
It's just happening. Do you go the other way sometimes?
Sure.
Where you can't come up with anything, and you're doing the same things you were doing before?
Cold as ice.
It does. Right.
Yep. We try to paint that as Lady Luck. You know, whether it's rolling dice or a ball off the back of the rim and, you know, not going in, whatever.
Yesterday it went well. Today, not so much.
Yeah.
Happens all the time to me. I'll win $200 somehow. I'll get a flat tire that's cost me $199.95.
Exactly. I'm the opposite. Usually I get the flat tire first, and then I got to hope that it rains $200 somehow.
I'm sure people who are listening, that one person that's listening, everybody goes to that.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I found a quarter. Well, you need to pay 26 cents for the parking meter.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. It's like, oh, hey, this meter has time, but not enough.
Right.
You know, it's like those things where you want to feel good about it, but...
Right, where you know that something's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're almost done here. You're here tomorrow, right? Oh, tomorrow we're going to talk about the game. I'm going to see if I can get some, maybe an Oregon beat writer or something to talk about the big game tomorrow night.
It is a big game tomorrow night.
Yes, and that'll be our focus. I think we talked a lot about basketball this week, so we'll see. What else is there to talk about in this town?
Well, there's basketball. I mean, there's occasional football coaching staff hires going on right now. But
yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Hey, right now that we're entering conference play, it's basketball.
Oh, all the time, 24/7. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Tom. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow here on 1030 The Voice.